K-E-A-R-U-H.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Is that Anthony? Oh, man. Chilly this morning, even for the hardcores that like the cold.
It is. I'm in your neck of the woods right now. I'm at 12 in DeQuinder, and my car's saying 33 degrees.
Well, I'm just out ahead of you. I think I'm coming up on 15 in DeQuinder right now. Mine still says 30, but it generally climbs a little bit as I drive.
Yep, it's, I would say it's here. They're actually, Saturday, I think they're talking about a little bit of measurable snow. So we'll see what happens.
There you go. Well, I did get up, yesterday was really nice. I did get up on the ladder, and I figured out what's wrong with my antenna. It was a connector. You know, even though I redid it and measured it, it seemed like once it was up in the air and hanging, it was having an intermittent connection or something. I don't know. It's a hard line connector, so they're a little different. I got a chunk of LMR 400 I didn't realize I had. I'm gonna probably connector that up and throw that up there. Although it'd be a lot quicker for me to just throw a new hardline connector on the end of that hardline.
Well, you know what's wrong, so you're 50% of the way there. So just got to get it done now, which is the problem for all of us. But you have a couple days later this week that maybe you have some time available to get it done.
I missed the diagnosis. What was it? The connector at the antenna is intermittent. It seems like it's intermittent in a way that if it's down on the ground or upside down, it works, but the minute I put it straight up, it stops working. You'd have to understand how hardline connectors connect to visualize that, but yep, connector.
8 to the SI.
Good morning, Greg. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone. Yeah, it's showing 28 degrees here. And a high of 49, though, so it should be real nice like yesterday. Should warm up considerably. I vote for the hardline connector. Just replace that because you'll have a better cable, and it's a one-time deal. Like you said, it'll be quicker, although I don't know that it's easier just putting that connector on, but that's my vote.
If I were to do that, I could do it pretty easy, although I do got the LMR 400 sitting in the car next to me, so there is that. Anyhow, good morning, Dakota. Joining Anthony, Greg, and I on the Monday morning attack. I doubled it, yeah. I don't know who won.
Guys, I'm hopping out to get gas. I'll catch up with you in a minute.
Sean won the double. Go ahead, Dakota.
All I said was everything else is good, just that one connector, huh? Yep. I was reusing the connector that was on it, so the ground is intermittent. It's got to be prepared in a very specific way to catch the ground in a hard line connector. But it's ready to go. It's on the ground. As long as I got a new connector, or all the pieces, parts from an old connector, I could refresh my memory with the instructions, get her fixed up. Anywho, I'm questioning this antenna I got on the car right now. It's the repeater is making a little noise, and I'm only at 18 mile dequiner. Greg?
Multitasking here, but that last transmission was wonderful, so I don't see any issue.
Yeah, I think you sound fine. I'm Brian, but I'm in downtown Elmont going into Richmond, so I'll be a little noisy for the next couple minutes.
All right. I flipped a different antenna on the roof of this thing, and it's a tri-bander. So from a monobander, so I don't know if it's going to work as well as the specifically tuned monobander. Oh man, leaky knee, hit the snooze several times today. Luckily I showered last night before bed, so didn't have to do that this morning.
Yeah, that first good morning transmission, you said sounded like you were still in bed, just kind of rolling over and grabbing a microphone. You haven't got your coffee yet, have you?
I feel like it's one of those days we're all going to have a case of the Mondays.
Oh, yeah. I already got one guy called out. So, I put out a memo. He says, you can only call in sick time. You can't call in personal time off because I have to approve or not approve it, although I always approve it. But you can't just call in and tell me you're taking a PTO day on the day of. Matter of fact, they don't even like you doing it, you know. But as long as it's before your shift starts, I consider it quote unquote in advance. So I put out a memo. I says, you know, from now on, if you're requesting a personal time off day, it has to be before your shift starts. And if you can't do it through the proper program that we use, you must do it. You must call me or text me or email me or something, because I have to have the right to, I must have the right of refusal if it's a request for personal time off. Very first day this morning, email comes in.
Oh, wow, the first day. Yeah, PTO should kind of be scheduled in advance. But I guess you use your time however you want, so you're a good boss as far as that goes. But, okay, game on.
So you just learned one of two things about that employee. They either don't read their email or they don't retain information.
Oh, no, they read it because this is the first time they've ever emailed in advance of their shift requesting PTO time. So they got the message loud and clear. So, but, yeah, Greg, I look at it this way. Unless there's really, really some reason I can't grant, you know, it's not like we're a production, but, I'm going to grant it. But, in this particular, person has exhausted their sick bank, so they're calling in PTO. So, well, but I'd rather not discuss it any further because then we're getting into things.
Yeah, roger that. So is there any frost this morning? I haven't peeked my head out the window yet. Don't even know if there's light. Just a little bit, but because it's cold out there.
My truck is frosted over, and my thermostat says 24. I had frost also. Now I'm at 31 at Stevenson and 13.
Welcome back, Anthony. Yeah, I'm reading 32, up up a couple of degrees from when I started rolling, so. But 24, holy cow. It's, you're up there in the God's country. Even Greg's up there a little ways, so you're a little down, but us guys down here in the urban area got a couple of degrees on you, which makes sense.
Yeah, Dakota's in the great white north. It's amazing, this small amount of mileage between him and I and then myself and you guys. But it does matter. It's a couple of degrees here and there. That's crazy. Anyway, I got to step away from my desk for a little bit. I'll be back in a bit. KE8BSI. Dakota, go ahead.
I think we looked. It's what, 26 miles? It's not... I mean, it's a good amount of distance, but yeah, for temperature, not really.
Yep, and it'll be consistent like that, and it'll be probably, I think normally, Dakota, between you and me and Sean, it's at least 5 degrees.
You know, speaking of distance, yesterday I met the guys out Pontiac Way for breakfast. And I jumped in my car, and I didn't know this particular restaurant. It was on some of those twisty-turny roads out there by the lakes. And so I popped it in the GPS, and when I jumped in my car and sat down, it said 15 miles. And I thought, that just seems awfully close because, you know, Pontiac seems like a long ways from my house. It's not really. It's fast, you know, to get there, but... Just when I saw that 15, it was kind of like, huh, it's really not that far.
I used to think driving from my parents' house at 34-mile road to 29-mile road or 26-mile road was a long drive. And now that I'm an adult, anything under 30 miles to me is relatively close.
Yep, that is totally true. It's interesting how your world gets bigger and bigger and bigger, especially like as you travel further and further for work. Your morning daily drive gets longer and your world gets bigger. But hey guys, I'm about to pull into the driveway at work here. I'll continue listening, and if I can get inside and get on the phone, I will. This is KE8RUH, and everybody have a good day.
All righty. We'll catch you perhaps in a bit, otherwise later. So, looking at the skies to the east, and it's going to only get darker, what, I think, when's solstice? 21st of December? So we've got about another 4 weeks of downward spiral in the darkness.
And then that'll be that 4 week period where everyone's depressed and miserable because you're in the dark to and from work. And then the long grind of January, February, March, praying April's not too cold.
Yeah, most people are usually in pretty good spirits in December because all the holidays coming up and everything. I mean, unless the holidays depress you, which some people... But, yeah, Thanksgiving followed by Christmas. That January, February, I think that's where most people just get the, you know. But you're right, the light is a little bit better in January and February than it was. You're starting to out of the winter, or I should say the solstice. So getting the sun back. Each day gets a little bit longer. Yep. But right now the nights are getting longer, the days are getting shorter still.
I'm back. Let me see if I got it. Alright. Yeah, these short days are terrible. I close up the windows and turn on the porch lights at the ridiculously early hours. It's like crazy, and then the night goes on forever before bedtime. Just crazy. So on your antenna, Sean, when it gets around to you, Do you have an ETA of the next time you're going to play with it? Will it be Thursday, Friday this week? And I don't remember if you said if you had the part you needed or not. Just curious because I'm excited to get some Simplex going back and forth with you and hopefully get Dakota in that mix as well.
You took the words right out of my mouth. I was going to say we got to bully Anthony into getting a sideband rig so we can do a little more Simplex. He's got a GP6 at his house, so he should do okay. I'm sure he'd be able to work you guys. Go ahead, Sean.
That's a tough area there. I've been working in radio communications all my life, and I've had all, you know, numerous opportunities to put things on the air down there, both work and play, and it's just a really, really funky area when it comes to, man, I have loaded up the back of this car so that I filled my visibility. It's okay, I got over there. Anyhow, that's a tough area right there to crack, but yeah, get something outside and you should be able to work me for sure. And, you know, it depends. You know, I got to get up there again. If it's nice when I get home and there's enough, and I get the, if I have the connector, that's the big thing. You know, do I have the hardline connector? And, then the other option is get this LMR 400 connectored up, and if I got at least the end of it done, I can go ahead and get that up in the air, and then to work on getting it poked through the wall. And it's top priority, maybe even today, but I'm hoping before the long holiday weekend is over, I'll have that thing working.
All right, well, good to hear that. If you do not have the part for the hard line, how long does it take to get one? I have no idea on that sort of thing.
Hey, DBF, go ahead. Yeah, if I don't have the hard line connector, I'm just going to go with this chunk of LMR 400 I got here. That's pretty simple. So... which brings up a question, Dakota, what did you end up doing for connectors on yours? Did you solder or crimp or which way did you go?
I crimped all of mine in the truck at the house, RG8X, LMR 400, they've all been good.
So I've never used the crimp connectors with the LMR. I was looking at them. I don't know if you need the prep tool, but that's a way to consider as well. I'll be right back. I gotta order my coffee here. I'll be right back in a second.
KE8 VSI. Where are you at now, Dakota?
I am almost to 27 Mile Road here.
All righty. Making your way on a Monday. How exciting. Are you in the office all day today, or are you going to luck out and have to go somewhere?
No, I'll be in the office all day, all week, I believe, including Black Friday, but it's fine with me. There's not going to be a whole lot going on this week. The majority of the people are going to be out. The majority of the vendors and relationship partners, they're out, so I'll have a lot of free time.
Ah, very good. Yeah, I remember the days in the office on these holiday weird days. It's got a whole different feel to it, and it's can usually be enjoyable. A lot of times people bring in food and stuff like that, so hopefully it'll be a good week for you.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I don't mind working the Thanksgiving week. The Christmas one, my wife works Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, so... that was kind of the arrangement, too, where I was like, you know, I'll work Black Friday because I'm not going to be here Christmas Eve because we will be open. And, Sean, if you're listening or if you can hear me, I do have the dies and the crimp for LMR 400 if you would like to borrow them. The
prep tool I don't have. I just use a razor blade. Yeah, Greg, I didn't get to play any radio this weekend. Turned my radio on like 10 minutes yesterday, and just I had sick kids and all kinds of crap, so didn't do much, but I plan on being around this weekend. I caught all that.
All right, cool. So, yeah, Sean needs those tools. That'd be helpful. I don't know if he needs them, but, yeah, I'll be around, too. All I have is a family thing on Thanksgiving for a few hours, but that's about it, so I should be around. Didn't play any normal radio stuff. Didn't get on the two-meter net. Not a whole lot of HF. I did discover a new avenue, I guess you'd call it. I don't know. I don't know if you saw it on Discord or Facebook or anything, but I found a way to do FT4 on a satellite, the RS-44 satellite. So I've got a few contacts there. Took a little while to figure it all out, but I think that's kind of neat. So that's what I've been playing with for a few days now. It's kind of got me absorbed in that.
I was watching your comments on that, and I was wondering what that was all about. I'm familiar with FT4. It's just like FT8, except for it's half the time. So I guess that's why they use it on the satellite to keep the time minimized. You might comment on that if I'm correct, but I think it's just like FT8, except for shorter. I played around with it a little bit when I was just hunting states and countries and things like that. On FT8, I would switch to FT4, and often you'd have easy pickings up there in the FT4 part, which is just a little bit up, I think, from FT8. So, but it would make sense that they would use that on the satellites, being half the time. Dakota? I did not see that at Discord, but I'll check it out when I get to the office. But, yeah, that does make sense. You're using the quicker transit receive time for something that's flying overhead.
Yeah, I think that's the main reason for it, is the speed involved. It's also the quicker time, like you said, it's in half, you're correct. That's also good when there's a contest going on, the field days and stuff like that. You can get a lot more contacts quicker if you're doing FT4, and there's more people using it during those times too. So there might be an actual bandwidth on your transmission too might be thinner than FT8. I'm not sure about that, but if so, that's another reason, especially on the satellite when it's just reflecting everything back. So I had it set it up for full duplex, you transmitting on VHF, receiving on UHF, getting the Doppler effect all set. There's a lot of figuring out to get it all to work, but it's kind of neat. KE8BSI.
W8FU. Yepers. Well, that sounds like another feather to put in your cap. So, there you go. As far as the connectors go, I think I have the crimper. I'm pretty certain I would have the crimper. I don't know anything about the crimp connectors for LMR. If it's any different than, RGA. Is it a captive pin kind of a thing, or is there soldering involved with the pin? So I'd have to get them regardless if I did that. I mean, it's tempting to just go ahead and do that, but also I could just put, unfortunately, the GP15 has got a PL259, so there's no point in putting an N on that end, to have to convert it to PL, so I'll just put a PL on that end. That one's prepped and ready to go. I hate soldering PLs, but I would prefer if I had them. So that's the key, if I had them. I have connectors. I have the crimps. So you tell me if you want them, and you're more than welcome to have a couple and do it. You do have to solder the pin. That's the only part that I hate doing, because it seems to want to wick its way down and not work. But the ones I have, they've been really good. I've had no issues with them, and a handful of them are outside. The vertical, I didn't terminate that one, but people. The first time I put it up, that was my terminated connection, and it was just vertical hanging. So hopefully those hold up because I didn't have enough slack to put a drip loop. And as far as antennas, I did order another long wire. So I'll replace that non-resonant one I have, and I can place some HF with the 705 and hopefully hit you on 80.
Yeah, if you're going to get something that does 80, that would be very cool. I liked the one time I was involved when we were all messing around on there. That was kind of neat. Wouldn't mind doing that again.
Yeah, that's always good fun. My antenna, I can get up to about 3,800 without invoking too much voodoo and black magic. Anything over 3,800, though, I got to bring in a tuner. But it's usually easy to tune a slightly longer and send it down. So I should be able to get up there relatively easy. I'm going to probably just go with these solder connectors. I'll just get both ends prepped. If you pin the jacket, the braid before you put the connector on the end, they're not hard to do. They're pretty easy actually. That's the key, is pinning the braid. Otherwise, it's almost impossible to get them to wick and get good connection without risking overheating, getting the dielectric melted. But I've got the good Teflon dielectric connectors and all that stuff, so I'm just going to go with those. And let's see how ticked off I am this morning. Oh, look at that. Nobody, that's not supposed to be parking in our spaces. Yay. Well, except for one guy, but that's a sheriff's deputy. I'll cut him slack.
Yeah, you kind of want to let him park where he wants to. So is it still a mess over there? I know it's been a while since I've been over that way. You had all that construction going on. I don't know what the current status is. So on your next turn, let us know.
Go ahead, Sean, if you're pulling in the parking lot. Yep, I just parked. I'm going to transition inside. But, so they're going to be, this building is getting more and more construction guys all the time as they start to go to inside. You know, before it was just demolition and putting up, the girders and the I-beams and all that stuff. Now they've kind of got it framed up and they're starting to put up walls, so there'll be more and more contractors coming in to do more and more stuff. And I see two guys mark refrigeration, so there's some sort of refrigeration company here probably pre-running stuff. So we're going to, and the problem is that this is the closest lot to the construction, so they come load this lot up in no time flat, and then I've got absolutely no room for my people, and let alone the customers. So anywho, they marked a lot. Now they're going to put some signage up, but all in all, not terrible. All right, I'm going to go inside. I'll catch you guys in a little bit. I'm going to jump on the Cisco when I get in there. W8FU.
All right, very good. I'll be watching for the Cisco light. not much else going on here. Just kind of fumbled through a few things at my desk. I got a lot of stuff caught up in the last weekend, so I'm kind of coasting. I might actually go to a park today, so that might be fun. It's supposed to be 49 degrees and sunny, so we'll see how that rolls. KG8BFI, Dakota.
Today would be a good POTA day, especially if it's going to be sunny. I don't think it's going to be too windy either. Although I don't, what does my watch say? I can't see it. That amp you have for your Elecraft, it's 50 watts. How much was that?
It's 100 watts, and I believe it was sub 200. So it's very well built. But zero bells and whistles, no tuner, no nothing else. Does have a fan on it, so that's good. I really like it. For what I paid, it does the job for POTA. It's super small, so I believe it was under 200.
Even better. Will you send me that? Because I think that's the last piece of my Frankenstein shack that I'm going to need. I have a tuner for the 705, LDZ, whatever. But I don't think I'm going to need it with this new antenna I got. It's resonant, so I could swap that out with an amp, and I think I'd be in really good shape. And, you know, have to figure out switches and duplexers and triplexers and all that crap at a later date, but at the very least, one radio would do everything for me, and I think that would be the key to some local 80 meters. I'm going to run that wire pretty much NVIS and have it horizontal from the house. But, yeah, let me order one of those bad boys.
All right, it was a really obscure purchase. Just some guy, I think, in Indonesia builds them. He's got several things that he builds, and just real nice stuff. But I just PayPal'd him directly. There was, you know, I took a risk with it. There's not a whole lot of documentation either. But like I said, it was so cheap, and it's been tested. And you know me, I worked the heck out of it with FDA. So, might not be a bad idea. I'll have to try and find where I found the guy. So it might take a little bit before I get back on that, if he's even still around. I think he is. It might be a neat thing for you to get.
All right, I appreciate it. Because I was looking at that Zygu one, which is fine. It would work really good. It would be a great bass amp. But they're, you know, $500, $550. And I don't need the tuner aspect of it. And I'd probably be good with 50 watts. And the fact that the one you bought is under 200 and 100 watts, I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer.
Right. And, I agree with all of that. And the Zygu, I know you like your super portability as well. Like you said, great for a bass amp. The tuner is outstanding on it. But it's big and it's heavy. So, this one for your use case might be an actual good thing. I'll do some hunting today, see if I can find it.
I'll do some Googling as well and see what I can come up with. But, yeah, that sounds like it would fit the bill. My desk is getting a little cluttered. That'll be the third amp, and then I got the tuner up there. But, like I said, I won't need the tuner here after I get this new antenna and amp.
Yeah, it don't hurt to have it for other bands, though. You'd be surprised what you can tune when you got a big wire up there like that. Well, you said be the third amp. I know you've got that VHF amp, I think around 80 watts. I don't remember. What else you got?
I've got that RM Italy LA-145, which I can't remember if it's 80 or 85 watts. And then I bought a UHF amp off of Sean, that's also 80 watts, with a low noise amplifier, so that thing's actually really sweet. And then whatever amp I end up with for the 705, and then I got that LDG Z Plus tuner.
Oh, you bought one off of Sean for UHF. All right, you and I will have to play UHF as well then. I think we tried and were unable to do that on your 10 watts, so maybe we can do it now. So that'll be something we can do over the long weekend as well.
I think that was the epiphany of, like, wow, 10 watts UHF doesn't get me out very far. So now, I mean, I at least have a semi-proper base station. It'll do all modes and almost 100 watts on all modes except for HF. So I gotta get that situated, and then I'll be good. We'll play any kind of radio I want. But I am at the office. I'm going to start this short week. So I may catch you on the drive home or later this evening. If you find it, please send it over. If not, I'm going to go do some Googling as well. I'll be clear up to yours, NABBF.
All right, very good. Sounds like a plan. Get in there, get your day going, and get it done, and get out. Talk to you soon, KE8VSI. I'll be monitoring for a little bit.
before I hit the gas station.
Yeah, I'm just chilling at the bus stop.
I woke up last late, and my coworker's already at the office, which is fine because that's perfect timing. He's getting the parts we need, and I'm meeting him at his lake Romulus. So we'll see how the day goes today.
Should be good to me. We got PTO for the next 3 days, and then 2 holidays.
Yeah, my coworker was off all last week, so, you know, I busted a move getting stuff done, and then we got 3 days packed up already with follow-up appointments and trying to get as much as we can done before the holiday. You know, so I usually don't take the days before Thanksgiving off or anything like that, even though I got a buttload of holiday or PTO that I can use. Just never in the habit of it.
Yeah, I know how that goes. I get I go up to 5 weeks next year, and I barely spent the 4 weeks. But my brother, his company changed the policy. They used to let him roll over vacation days, and this year they said, no, use it or lose it. So after December 5th, he's done for the year.
Well, I have 5 weeks, 5 floating holidays, and 5 sick days.
You only get 1 floating holiday and 1 well-being day, which is basically the same exact thing. But, sick time, I guess, is, not really, kind of between you and your manager, I guess. If it becomes excessive, then they start enforcing some sort of policy.
Gotcha. I should just take the entire month of December off. I'll be right back.
Sounds like a good idea. Immediately. No, it's, I get them every other weekend, and then every Wednesday, but this week, Wednesday will be Tuesday, so they can travel on Wednesday, so. She's got them for Thanksgiving and Christmas this year, and then next year I get them for Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Oh, that sounds pretty cool. So what, then, you're not going to live locally or something like that, that, she's able to go to the same school.
She's in Grand Blanc, so I have to drive down to Grand Blanc. I didn't want to change their school, so she lives in Grand Blanc with the girls, and I'm up in Flushing.
Okay, now I remember. I knew it was something like that. Hey, at least you have to take them to school.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're going to take an hour each one for an hour round trip, so gotta take a little more time than I normally would.
I'll let that be the end. I'll talk to you in a bit, Casey, in your jail.
Alrighty, be a blessing.
Well, got cleared off of one job, and now got going to the other job that's at the same location. Goofy.
Got cleared off of one job, and then I cut out.
Yeah, certain sites are actually most customers. You know, if they have problems on two different systems, they call in one work order and we just do both of them, you know. So if they have a camera issue but they also have a card access issue, we'll do all on one job. Oh, geez. You're back again.
Popular guy. How you doing?
Hey, KGL. Yeah, that's how it usually goes on a Monday morning. I get on the radio and then the phone starts squawking. First one was coordinator for like a Central One account. Like I said, mostly, you know, when we have one customer with multiple systems, you know, depending on what it is, they usually just make one work order and we kind of tackle it both. Sometimes they'll make two. But with the national accounts, they have to make one per system. So I was going to one for one job. My coworker was going to go there for the other job. Well, they just called me and says, well, this job here, we don't do. It's not our equipment. So I'm going to clear you off of that and put you on the other job with the other guy. I'm like, okay, that'll work. And that's how our day usually goes.
Yeah, as long as the job gets done, I guess, right?
Oh, 100%. That's why we work well together. We just go in, tackle it, and be done with it.
Yep. I repeated the whole drug this morning. Just start talking, it would cut out, and then it would come back right at the end of the sentence. You know, sometimes it'll start the ID, and then it'll drop out, and then it'll catch the end of the, or not the ID, but the web report, you know, it'll catch the end of it.
Well, I'm on the Richmond repeater, so I should be good to go for right now. I'm still over that by that tower.
I guess I'm at the Holly repeater. I know Fred said there's some sort of transmit issue with it, but it seems to work most of the time.
Yeah, I use that one a lot when I'm up that way.
Yeah, I pretty much, once I hit 75, I can switch to it and then carry that all the way to like, exit 90 or 91, depending on the day, and then I switch to Warren.
Yeah, I try to stretch it to the limit, to the end of the rope, and then I'll change over.
Yeah, there's a pretty hard cliff, you know. You'll be fine, and then go down a hill, and you'll be gone.
Oh, yeah, I've had a couple bad spots around there. I mean, I'm like right in this little hole where I can't get, you know, flint is staticky, birch staticky, holly staticky. Like, if I just keep switching around, it's like right around Fenton area, I think. No, wait. Just outside of Flint on the west side. It gets a little staticky and then it comes back.
If you're going on the west side, you get the Bancroft machine, but maybe you could hit that one. Should be. That'd probably get you more in the west.
Yeah, is that 443575, something like that? Is that the one that goes deep?
Goes where?
I don't know if it's Bancroft or if it's Danville. It says, welcome to the blah, 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 and then it's doing the regular ka-chunk. It goes beep.
I actually don't know. I don't really use it that much. I'm rarely going west, and if I do, I'm at 800.
KJL. Now I'm going to have to look up all the lists again. Make sure I got it all. Maybe print it out and stick it in my van somewhere. So I'm like, oh, I need to go to this one.
Yeah, you set up a zone with just the lift repeaters and just flip through.
As the thing is, my node, I brought it in my truck to test it all out, and it kept getting communication failures. I'm like, what on earth? So, you know, because I have the wireless jetpack, and then I have the hardwired modem also, you know, cell modem. It picked up the IP off of my cell modem, and it kind of kept it. So when I take it home, it won't pick up on the Wi-Fi. For some silly reason, even though it's in there. And I even tried programming it here in the truck, and it picked up the Wi-Fi, but it still wasn't linked to the FBI or to the Mount Clemens repeater. So I took it home, and I tried it there, and it didn't work, but then as soon as I plugged it hardwired in to my front room network, and it works just fine. So I'm like, whatever, I'll leave it right there.
Yeah, Linux has Linux doesn't handle Wi-Fi very well. It really needs to be like rebooted, and it doesn't switch networks easily. There's ways you can set up macros so it'll swap out the Wi-Fi and reboot it, but to me it just kind of got to the point where if I wasn't going to be leaving it in the car or connected to the network all the time, it wasn't worth it, so I just leave it at home and use the repeaters, but yeah, there can be weirdnesses with Linux and Wi-Fi.
Yeah, I try to reboot, you know, and doesn't want to pick up the Wi-Fi. Oh, like I said, which is fine. You know, it's serving its purpose. It's in the house. I can make it to the Mount Clemens repeater and the Warren repeater through my node. You know, and that's all that matters to me. Because when I'm on the road here, I can hit the repeaters just fine. You know, when I'm in the Mount Clemens area, I can hit it just fine. So the node is serving the purpose that it's intended for.
Yeah, I know Sean had run an some issues with Cary Grade Matt that really messed up his node too, so. And it was on T-Mobile that he was getting that, so it might just be the, it might be on the ISP end that's really messing it up for you too.
One of the goofy things is, you know, when I programmed the Wi-Fi in there for my, you know, for the wireless, and it says it's connected, my wireless device says it's connected, but I kept getting a communication, you know, connection failed. So I'm like, kept talking my head, I'm like, I know I don't have anything locked, you know, it's wide open. In regards to firewalls and everything else like that, I don't have that enabled. I don't think I need it. If I do, then I'll turn it on. But I don't know. It's kind of odd. That's all. That's it. But it's at home. It's on my switch. So, and it stays cool because the front room stays a constant 55 degrees in there in the wintertime. So, don't bother me none.
Yeah, that's, I guess that could be the an issue too, is if you don't have the SIP port open, I almost wonder if it's the carrier grade now that's getting you, that, the All-Star system wants to know your IP, and your IP's constantly changing.
Could be. You know, never thought of that. Well, like I said, hey, you know, she's working at home, and which is really funny. My home network is 4.1, but the All-Star, the node picked up 5.1 off of my other hardwired modem. I'm like, well, that's different, and it hasn't changed. But, you know, I could get into it on the 5, you know, on the .5. Through my .4 because my sub is 255.255.252, so it sees it, it talks to it, I can talk to it, and I still got to learn about that, all that networking stuff in regards to subnet mask and how I can expand, but it works, and I'm a happy camper.
Yeah, that's, I don't know, a lot of that goes over my head. I try to understand it, but I got a pretty fancy setup in my house, but, we got a point-to-point going over the garage and everything. Separate network for the garage. You can't really get the house Wi-Fi from the garage. And where I'm at, there's no cell service, so it's really need to have in order to take phone calls out there when I'm working out there. So, I try to figure it out, but sometimes some of that stuff is deer in the headlights.
100% same here. Like I said, I gotta sit down and Google this and Google that. I mean, I know basic networking, and you know, I really don't need anything over, you know, 250 some odd addresses, because I don't have that much equipment. You know, I got big printers, a file server, and then the direct TV, the DVD player, the TV, Roku, my wife's watch, 3 phones, my daughter's TV, and her PS5. You know, I think there's like 19 devices altogether that are on my network. So I got, you know, 200 more addresses to go. So going beyond that, then I have a problem.
Yeah, that's when you start doing VLANs and all that jazz to put all your IoT on one little separate network and get a management network for all the devices, all your network equipment. Yeah, get real fancy.
Yeah, Wi-Fi is shut off, so nobody can get into my network unless you know my passwords. You know, and I have two different, mesh networks. I got the one that came with the fiber upgrade, and I got my daughter's, you know, that she bought so she could play her video games. So, which makes it nice, because then, for her mesh, I mean, she's going through a hard line and not taking up bandwidth, you know, on the other mesh. So, it works for me.
Routers and hard lines, but it is my time to get, or my turn to get dinosaur juice, so I will be back.
Well, I have a couple gigabit switches, so I'm good there. So anything that can handle the gigabit is running at a gig. Everything else is running at 100 base gig. You know, and that's just, you know, internal networks that buzz through. You know, after it goes out of the one box, you know, out of the fiber box, and then it goes to the switches and goes from there, so. Hi-ho, hi-ho, off to work you go.
Well, I'm not for 7 days.
Oh, my Lord. That's another phone call. Okay, back. Easy, easy.
W8FU.
K8WOJ. K8YNU, K88YNU, this is N8VDZ. Nothing heard, N8VDZ, clear.
Hello, Mike, what's shaking? W8FU.
John, how you doing, my friend? I almost stopped in to see you a few minutes ago, but I got too much going on. I get in trouble with my wife. I didn't get back home. Just dropped off half the go kits to Dave in your parking lot.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't there. I'm out on the road. Won't be back probably before the end of the day anyhow. So there you go.
Well, it worked out then. I don't feel bad anymore. I actually was feeling guilty that I didn't shop in to see you. But you weren't there anyway, so all good. So how are things going on the road for you?
Oh, not too bad. Matter of fact, I'm in your neck of the woods, about a mile, about 1 mile due east of you. Ran by Centerline, and I'm going to finish out the day from home. I've got a lot of keyboard pounding to do, so I'm not going to run back up. And I do got to get lunch first, so I still got to get lunch, and then I'll just finish out up here, or down here, I should say. Up, down. Is there really an up, down, north, south, whatever? I'm just trying to figure out what I want. I've been very good about watching the carbs lately, get my sugar back under control. I let it sneak up on me a bit, so I'm sitting here trying to decide. Part of me wants to go to that Bismala, that Indian place right there, you know, at Ryan and Penn, but it's all got rice, baby, and I can't have rice if I'm being a good boy.
Yeah, rice is definitely one of those don't-dos for me also. Interesting enough, I can eat pasta and have very little issues with my sugar, so I'm lucky there. But rice, I'm right with you on that one. And I'm always good for breakfast. Breakfast I can have for any time of the day, and eggs are really, really good for us. Because there's no sugar spikes in those eggs at all. So just got to be careful what you have with them.
Oh yeah, remember when eggs were bad for you back in the day? Eggs are great, power food. There's even a diet which is like all eggs. You know, you just eat, just a bunch of different ways to eat eggs. And speaking of which, I got some deviled eggs in the fridge. I could go eat some of those. Time me over till dinner time. But I might stop at Chicken Shack. Only problem with there is it's all fried, and that's not good for me either. So I don't know. Wonder if Ryan Grill's got anything I can have. What am I going to do here?
I saw the last time I was in there, I haven't tried it yet, so I don't know if it's any good, but I saw they had lake perch on their menu, and that's a good one too. But, the eggs thing, depending on your cholesterol, but... our medical people are so up, salt, high blood pressure. No one can have salt now. Eggs, cholesterol, no one can have eggs. You know what? I have normal blood pressure, normal cholesterol, and salt and eggs don't hurt either of them. I have eggs every single day for breakfast. I love them. And my cholesterol's fine. So it's all on what your body does. So I don't pay attention to what they say. I pay attention to what, my doctor says when he looks at my blood and says, that looks good. That looks good, too. So, all right, John, I'm just about pulling up onto my on my street here. So I'm going to say good talking to you. Have a great day. Good luck on your lunch choice. And I will be clear after your close.
All right, Mike, we must have just about passed in the night, so I think I'm going to go into the Ryan Grill here and just get something there. It's easy. Easy peasy. We'll catch you later, W8FU. 73,
my friend.
Hello, on the mobile.
KATR. Kilo Bravo 8, Whiskey Tango Alpha. Kilo's what?
K-8-R-U-H.
What's up, Mr. Colleen?
What's going on?
Thanks for the last run of the day.
Well, that's good. It feels like you should be making the last run of the day.
Yeah, but I didn't get up to like 10 to 8 or something like that. But I'm good. How it goes.
Yeah, this short days is really doing a number on me here. You know, it's 3:40. It feels like it's 7 o'clock right now.
Oh, absolutely. It's throwing my time clock off. I know that much.
Yeah, I can't get a rhythm, that's for sure. I feel like it's just always dark. It's quite the grind.
Oh, yeah. When I used to work in the Central Station, I worked midnight. So I went to work when it was dark, and I came home when it was dark. Totally threw me off.
Yeah, that's a grind. I can't imagine working nights. I can tell you this. I am not cut out for that.
Oh, I used to work all three shifts when I first started with the company. It was 8 to 4:30. And then I got moved into dispatch, guard dispatch, and support. So that means I went on midnight or afternoon, kind of, sort of. And then did that for a few years and then went to afternoon to become a supervisor, and then they shut the Central Station down, and I went out in the field. So I held almost every position in the monitoring center before I came out here.
That's cool. It means you're pretty versatile and know all the roles, so you know the impact on everyone whenever you do something. That's always a good thing.
Oh, absolutely. I met my service manager's boss. She's like the area manager Midwest or something like that. She's been around for 20-some-odd years like me. So when they went around the office a couple weeks ago and everybody got introduced, I'm like, you know who I am? And she's like, Tom, just say who you are. And I'm like, I'm Tom. I've been with the company 33 years, and I'm the last remaining member of the original Central Station in Madison Heights.
That's pretty cool, yeah. When you start putting numbers to stuff like that, though, it makes you think, man, shouldn't I be retiring soon?
Oh, not even close. I mean, my original service manager, when I started with the company in, when did I start? 93, yeah. I started in April of 93. When I started, he was my manager all the way until he retired.
Yeah, you know, it's rare to find people that are
with one company for a long time anymore, but I'm not far off. Well, I guess I'm a ways off, but I've been with my company for 24 years, I want to say. So I've been there for quite a while. 35. That's what they call government work, Sean.
Hey, Sean.
It's good work if you can get it. Good afternoon.
Afternoon.
Well, here's a kicker to you both. The guy that I work with, Brad, he's ahead of me here. He is third generation ADT. His daughter now working at ADT, even though, you know, he and I went over to the commercial side and went to Johnson Controls. But his daughter is fourth generation ADT, dating all the way back to 1947 with his grandfather.
That's pretty wild.
Yep, the company newsletter interviewed him, his daughter, and his father. And, yeah, it's a big thing in the company newspaper. And it's 73 years combined of the newer family being involved with ADT Security.
Is that still family-owned, or, because I think, didn't they get pulled into Tyco, the whole Tyco orbit, for a while?
Yeah, when I started in 93, it was ADT Security Systems, and then Tyco International bought us in 97 to use us to ADT Security Services, and then they split the company in 2014 and sold off ADT Small Business Residential and changed all its commercial guys to Tyco Integrated Security. And then 4 years later, in 2018, we merged with Johnson Controls.
Quite the checkerboard to keep track of.
And what is Tyco most famous for?
Tyco Communications, Tyco Medical, Tyco Fire and Security. And they did Tyco Communications, or telecommunications. Laid down the subatlantic cable.
Yeah, but I think they're most famous for being a toy company.
Nope. Two different entities, believe it or not. Everybody says that. Aren't you part of the toy company? Nope. That's Tyco Toys. Totally separate, not even related, believe it or not.
I choose not to. What about you, Anthony?
I've only been thinking about it while we were talking about it, and then I'll forget about it when we're done.
So Anthony's with me, toy company.
No, I guess in my office it has to be true because I work with a bunch of kids.
Were they, I mean, obviously security systems, they pop up on my radar every now and again, but where they really popped on my radar was, well, telecommunications, you know, sometimes we'll see in that realm as well, but it was when they bought OpenSky, and they thought that they could bring it to the, you know, bring it to market, and they gave it their all, and they passed it off. I think it bounced, OpenSky, I think, bounced from, I think, Johnson, Tyco, Harris. There might even been one other, because they might have been standalone before that merry-go-round. But I remember Tyco getting in on the whole open sky merry-go-round, somebody trying to make it work.
Yeah, I know we had some form of radios out there, because I remember being in one of the Leo dispatch centers. And I think it was like Maxon or Macon or I don't know, something goofy like that, but it said a Tyco company below it.
Yep, that was the other one, MACOM. Yeah, I think MACOM was the original, and then I think Tyco bought them, and then E.F. Johnson had them,
was somewhere along the line they were involved in Harris, I think, when they finally pulled the plug on the whole thing. But I joke, I say they never could get it running, and, you know, they tried and blah, 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 but they had it running, our neighbors to the west. But I just like to get their dander up by saying, you know, by saying stupid stuff like, yeah, you know, they could never get it running and blah, 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 blah. It still was a failure in my humble opinion, but they did get it running for what it's worth. All right, I just pulled up at home. I'm trying to get an antenna in the air, so I'm going to get while the getting is still reasonably good. Anthony, W8FU.
All right, Sean, have a good evening, and get on that while there's still a little bit of light left. You got probably about, an hour, hour 10? So good luck. Be safe on those ladders. We'll talk to you soon.
Be safe and stay reasonably warm, Sean. Warm, that's it, warm. Too much peanut butter crackers today.
Well, Tom, it definitely warmed up from this morning. We were chatting this morning. It was in the low 30s, and Dakota had us at 24 degrees this morning, so out by him. So it's almost double in temperature.
Yes, it's 48 now, but I know that's not going to last long. It was like 52. And I'm like, wow, it's warm out here. And then I stepped outside and I'm like, whoa, that's cold out here.
Yep, along with the light that goes away quick, the temperature drops quick at this time of year, too.
Yeah, I guess we're supposed to have rain and snow or some of that. We're supposed to do cameras tomorrow. And my coworker and I'm like, no, we ain't doing it in, you know, not going to have that happen again. We were in Genesee County doing cameras, and it started sleeting on us. And yeah, that was not the most fun adventure in the world. But I am at my destination, so I will chat with you when I get out of here. KJO.
All right, Tom, have a good afternoon, evening. I got about 10 minutes left in the car, and then I'll be home. So we'll catch up with you soon. This is KE8RUH. Have a good night.
N8DBS.
N8DIC.
What's up, Dakota? KF8S.
Just driving home. What about you?
Just in front of my computer. How's, I'm inside in the lower level. How's my signal?
Snowy but copyable. Are you going into Warren or are you going to UMP?
UMP. Hold on, I'll switch my nose 1 second.
KE4ZYQ, I got him at 50 over 9.
I'm behind a ham right now. KI5YK.
Texas plates or Michigan plates?
It was a white plate, but I don't know. I didn't really pay attention. It had the... Are all the amateur plates the same? They got the little radio tower on the left side?
Yeah, for Michigan they are.
KI5YK is a Charles out of Midland, Michigan.
He didn't have any antennas on his vehicle, so maybe he's a an HF-only kind of guy.
He's amateur extra, KE4ZYQ.
I keep telling myself one day I'll get that, and then I keep not getting that.
Someday, if you really feel you want to be a completionist, otherwise, not really, not much use other than the frequencies and being able to test others.
Yeah, I'll probably be a general forever. Who am I kidding?
Well, I'm Amish.
Nothing wrong with that, or even tech. Some people don't really care about HF. They just want to be on repeaters and do satellites, and that's what you can do.
Well, I'm Amish plate.
I keyed and unkeyed because I heard someone. Who was that?
Stickers.
Yeah, I see. I said that's Amish plates.
Amish plates?
Yes, Dave.
Yeah, me and Jack have a running joke that you have to answer every question on the morning brew with some kind of Amish theme. So, for example, if they ask you, like, what's your favorite ice cream, it would be Amish ice cream. Right, Jack?
100% right. How you doing, Dakota? How you doing, Dave?
You guys are something else. Good afternoon, Jack. I'm doing well.
That other interrupter was Joe, KE4ZYQ. Good afternoon, everyone.
Good afternoon, Joe. I'm sorry I took you.
I was checking my Amish dinner. It's slowly cooking.
All right, guys, good talking to you. KFADRC.
You live in Clinton Township, Joe. You ever go to that Amish market? I'm not so sure it is an Amish market. Have you ever gone to it? It's like, I'm trying to remember what that road is. Crocker, sub Crocker.
Negative on the Amish whatever market. I haven't even been to Aldi's like a lot of people. That's just around the corner down Hayes Road, I think. I got to get to Aldi's one day. I hear they got some fresh food and stuff, and prices aren't too bad.
I like Aldi's. I don't do the grocery shopping, but I prefer when she goes to Aldi's.
Yeah, but as Professor Don would say, you can save money, and then what was the thing that he would always buy? You have extra money to buy something else.
It was a Bofang, wasn't it? Wasn't it his unit of measurement for everything?
Bofang units, I don't know. I think the Bofang unit depreciates in value. Now you can get radios for like $15 for two. It's like depreciating.
The Don you're referring to, is that the fellow that passed away a while back? W8AE or something like that?
Yeah, that's him, W80. He used to like going to Aldi's. Not Walt, but this was Don. We call him Professor Don because we have a Captain Don. You know, W8 was call sign, W8CPT. And then Professor Don because he would always teach everybody.
I remember Walt, that poor guy. He was kind of neat in a way. I met him at a park, at a Lark in the Park, Metro Beach one day. He looked like the old man of the sea with the beard and all.
Both good dudes who were always great to talk to. And, yeah, Professor Don Elmer me. He was my first contact in radio in general.
I was as old as either one of those, but I'm close to Don. In the 90s, Walt was up above me, but I hope he remembers me in a good light.
At the time, he was the president
of ZYQ.
It was a really big joke, I guess. It was a fun time to be a ham back then.
You guys doubled pretty good there. I didn't really get either of you. Joe, go ahead.
KE4ZYQ, sorry I unkeyed. I heard him talking. Yeah, I was going to say is that I'm up in years, not as old as Walt, and probably closer to Don. So I'm up in years, and I hope if and when, not if but when I pass away, you guys remember me in a good light, and maybe even just that guy that used to tell dumb dad jokes. I tell those ones you hear on radio or TV or whatever, the so-called dad jokes, back to whoever.
Yeah, he does. Let me see if I got it.
Yeah, well, everybody's a character on ham radio, at least the ones that talk on the repeaters, so we are all cast of characters in the machine. Go ahead, Dakota.
There are definitely the fair share of personalities out here.
Well, I know one thing for sure, and that is the two ways you know you're getting old. Once you lose your memory, and I can't remember the other one.
Yeah, or as Walt would say, a waste is a terrible thing to mine. And then what did Professor Don always say? He said, I'm here because I'm not all there.
Oh, my God, I can still hear him saying that vividly. Cracks me up, man. Had a ton of good conversations with that guy. He was always out on the air.
Hearing those two statements, which are individual to each person, you gave me a flashback that was pretty good. Yep. I got back into ham radio several years ago when they were still around, and I got my license in 86, but I let it lapse after losing my wife, moving back to Michigan, my home state, and I finally said, time to get my license, see if I can get it, you know, get it back, and reinstated it, got my old call sign from Tennessee where I lived there for several years, and when I got back and heard those two guys, and just those two statements you said, flashback time.
K-E-H-Z-R-I.
Go ahead, ZRI.
Wow, awesome. This radio does work after all. I finally got it working. Hey, I got a question for you, Dakota. You guys were always talking about those power pole connectors, and they use power pole connectors for these ham radios. Where do you get those from, or what kind is it that you use?
I get them from PowerWorks.com, W-E-R-X, PowerWorks.com. Those are the only ones that I buy. I haven't used, but I've seen the non-PowerWorks branded ones. And they'll work, but the tolerances aren't as good. The quality's not as good. You can get them on Amazon. But if you go to PowerWorks, I think it's $100, you get a starter kit. You get the crimper and a couple different gauge power pole terminals and the, what do they call it? The housing, the red and black housing. So that would be my 2 cents. I would definitely highly... I cannot recommend enough the PowerWorks brand. I terminate, I don't even know how many of those things. I have tons of them. Everything I have for radio is on a power pole, and I've never had an issue with one of them.
Okay, sorry to jump in here, but I just wanted to ask you this. And this is the first time transmitting on radio on UHF. And I saw some at Amazon, but they look pretty cheap. So I didn't buy them. I was going to wait and talk to you, Dakota. Thank you very much for your input.
Just remember, I'm an amateur, and I can offer any professional
advice. I bought a pack of those. Came with a red bag, and those are nice. You can always buy the little Chinese knockoff ones to practice on. You know, there's nothing, no harm in that. You can practice on those, and then when you get comfortable, use the PowerWorks ones.
Do you solder them or crimp them?
They crimp. They use the tool, the kit that Dakota's referring to, I think, comes with a crimper. Is that correct, Dakota? Go ahead.
Yeah, don't solder them. You crush the solder and then you don't get as good of a connection. So you want to actually smash the wire into the terminal. I keep calling it a terminal. I'm assuming it's a terminal. Whatever, the power pole. That kit does come with, it's a tri-crimp, which is very well made. Comes with some, 10, 15, and I can't remember what the 30 gauge maybe. Maybe not, I don't know. Because with everything you need to get started, it should be plenty to just get you up and running. I've ordered tons since then because, like I said, everything I get that touches 12 volts gets that. And, yeah, I think that's the way to go for a starter kit. Dave said it comes with a nice bag, a nice plastic case. Can't go wrong with it.
Okay, thanks a lot, guys. Thank you very much for your input. I'm going to back out of here and just listen now. This is KEA ZRI 73.
Sounds good, 73. Yeah, you'll like it. All right, Dakota, I have to cut this short. I got to spend a half an hour here before 5 to get some work done, and then I got to take my daughter to her music lesson. So I'll listen out, though. Okay, F8S.
No problem, guys. I'll be rolling for a little bit here. If I don't talk to you, have a good night. I'm sure I'll talk to you later this week. Go ahead, Joe.
F73 there. There's a fellow, what I think it was, KG4ZYQ. Yeah, I'm one of the crazy guys that bought the unit off of Amazon, but I picked a certain company or type, crimper and connectors, and the largest one in there was what I use on my radio right now with the power supply, and the circle connector, you slip over the post, the power, and, positive and negative post on your power supply. Seems to be working okay. The crimper worked real good. And I put some shrink wrap on it, so it seal up the connector, so it doesn't touch anything on the post of it. But, yep, well, it was good talking with you guys, and thanks for the reminiscing down memory lane with the different phrases of the other two. Yep, Walt was a character, and Don definitely was one, too. A breed of their own, as they would say.
I just did the same thing. I've got a Olinco power supply, which I think is just a rebrand of a Chinese OEM. It's nothing special, but it's got two power pull ports on the front, and then it's got terminals on the back. I made I ordered a four-way power pull from Amazon because it's just easier to make, or easier than making, and it was cheap. And then I made a whip that had two ring terminals come off the back of the power supply into a power pull that I could plug the four-way into. So yeah, that's in my opinion the easiest way to do it. And then same thing, heat shrink and the whole shebang. Looks nice, tidy, it's protected, gave me a whole lot more power. So now all said and done, that power supply gives me 6 instead of 2. But yeah, I miss those guys. They were always good to talk to. We talked to Walt for the most part in the mornings, Fusion to begin with, but then I got rid of Fusion. I was usually always on FBI here, so I'd catch him in the morning, and then I talked to Don all over the damn place. GMRS, HF, UHF, he was always doing something, but yeah, good dudes, definitely missed. All right, I'll be mobile for a little bit here, but I'm almost home, so I will catch you later. N8BBF.
I got one quick question, if you don't mind, I have time to answer. Since you do shrink wrap or the shrink connector, do you have a dedicated hot gun, heating gun? Because I use what I used to use when I was a lot younger, called a blow dryer on high, and it seems to work.
If I were to recommend one, I got a handful. I got a Milwaukee 18-volt one that's the worst heat gun I've ever used. It doesn't get that hot. And it's a waste of money. I have it's called a Genesis. It's a corded one. It's $13, and I was like, this is a throwaway. I'm going to use it one time and never again. They're on Amazon. It gets piping hot. Works phenomenally well. I've beat the hell out of it. I've had it for years. I've loaned it out to people. For the money, it's the best heat gun in the world. It's just indestructible. I can't believe something that cheap works that good. And then I just recently, I don't know, in the last year or two, bought it online. I can't remember the brand, but it's like this little stick yellow heat gun. I bought it because it's just smaller and easier to use.
That works just fine for heat shrink. I wouldn't do anything crazy, but because I heat shrink every connector I make, I wanted something smaller that would just sit on my desk.
That's just all that. Like I said, I was shocked when I tried that blow dryer on high with the dedicated end on it that narrows it down to a narrow area, you know, kind of cones it down to a little strip of opening. Yeah, and you got that heat coming out. As long as it gets it hot enough, that heat shrink, it'll start contracting. But thanks for the cue, so both you and Dakota. Have a good evening, days to come, and good Thanksgiving. Don't hear from you beforehand. KE4ZYQ, clear and signing off. Listen out.
KE4ZYQ from NABDF. Yeah, so I lied to you. The Genesis is on Amazon for $16.77 now. I bought that in 2018, it looks like. And then the other one is called a Seek One, all one word, mini heat gun. It's on sale for $15 for Black Friday on Amazon. But yeah, blow dryer will do just fine. All right, if I don't talk to you, happy Thanksgiving, and I'll catch you later. NABDF.
Hey, everybody's on their way home. JCKDO.
Good evening, Tom. Afternoon, evening, whatever it is.
Late afternoon, early evening. Wish it was earlier, but it's not, so we got to deal with it.
Yep, I was hoping I was going to get home with a little more daylight. I got a, what did I order? It's a active fuel management disabler for my truck, so it stays in V8 mode all the time, and it turns off the auto stop start. And I was hoping I was going to have a little bit of more natural light to get that plugged in, and it doesn't look like that's going to be the case.
Did you disable your auto start?
I can, but it's a button I got to press every time. And on these new trucks, you can't keep them locked in V8 mode. They still drop down to different cylinders. The best truck I ever had was a 2021 Silverado 1500 Trail Boss because it was in the midst of the chip shortage, and it didn't have an auto stop start. It didn't have the dynamic fuel management garbage. It didn't have any parking sensors on it. It was truly a truck again, and I missed that truck dearly. This new one has got more microchips and computers and processors than anyone should ever have in a vehicle.
Yeah, I agree. That's one nice thing about this new choose the 150 I have. I don't have to hit the auto start stop because it doesn't have it. All it has is a uphill assist. I can push the button, and when I stop, it clicks on. If I let off the brake, it don't go nowhere. So that's a nice little feature. But the auto start stop, yeah, I'm glad that that's not in this one.
I didn't buy it specifically for the auto stop start. I turn it off every time I start the truck anyway. But it's a nice add-on that I found out after I bought it that it had. It turns that off no matter what. The main reason I bought it was to keep it locked into V8 instead of dropping down cylinders to, you know, quote, save fuel. There's an exhaust flapper just before the muffler that squeaks every time it switches from V8 to four-cylinder or whatever the hell it's doing, and it drives me up a wall. I've lubricated it, dry lube, graphite, whatever, and it still does it. So this is going to keep it V8, hopefully keep that from happening. And then I'm going to have one of our maintenance guys tomorrow wire the thing open so it cannot shut. It'll just be open.
Yeah, my daughter says that the auto start stop is the dumbest thing. You know, and she's in the automotive field, you know. She's not a mechanic, but she's like, that auto stop start says it just wears your starter down. That's all it does.
Your battery, your starter, your flywheel, I mean, it's just stupid. It's the fuel it doesn't save, it's not worth what it's doing, but that's the EPA for you. They make them for Fords. I don't know what your truck is, but they're on Amazon. They're relatively inexpensive, and that'll keep that truck locked into all cylinders and turn off the auto stop start.
Oh, her truck stays in V8 all the time. You know, I think the keep up in sport mode, I'm gonna snap your head back.
Is it the 5.0?
Yeah, she has the Coyote motor in it.
Yeah, a buddy of mine had one of those. Those are pretty decent motors. I think that's probably the only motor from Ford that I would consider.
Oh, yeah, he hated the Triton V8. So that engine was junk. No, he's got the Coyote in it. And, that thing is, it's a beast. I'm not even a big fan of driving it.
Yeah, the one my buddy had, it was good, but they ended up buying that truck back from him. It had so many issues with the transmission and the oil sump and all kinds of crap, so he put like 20,000 miles on it, and then they bought it back.
Yeah, hers is a 2018, and there's a... just not sure where it's at. The 18 LAX used because it's on the back side of the transmission that she washed it off. Flipped out and went into limp mode, but then she shut it off and started back up again, and it worked fine. So, something's getting wet somewhere or damp, and it's flaked out.
Well, that's no good. Hopefully she's able to track that down.
Yeah, she's working on it. She doesn't have the money to get it repaired right now, so... but she still lives at the residence of, me. She's taking my wife's Escalade tomorrow and Wednesday. Just to be sure. The Escalade is a 100% type of vehicle, but it'll get it from A to B.
The fun of owning a vehicle is they're never perfect. If I had it my way, that's a little weird, he's walking around on a rope. If I had it my way, I would have like a 03 to 05 Silverado 2500 Duramax. Or I'd go into like the 80s and get an even older Silverado and just drive that. The problem is they're either mint and cost as much as a new truck, not really, but way too much, or they're destroyed.
That's funny. My daughter had the 04 2500 6.2 liter or 6 liter, and she sold that to a friend of the dealership that she goes through, and used part of that as a down payment on her F-150.
GM 6 liter?
Yes, sir.
Another great motor, but you're only going to get about 11 miles a gallon.
I know, I have an 07 Escalade, and I got a 6.2 liter in there. And she's starting to burn oil now. She's got a valve cover gasket leak. The wonderful General Motors exhaust leak.
What year did you say it was?
2007.
I'm sure that's getting up there in miles, no?
Yeah, last part, I'm sorry, you got cut off.
I just asked, I'm sure, or stated, I'm sure that's getting up there in miles, right?
Yeah, 160,000. I'll be right back.
At ADBF. I don't know how well you're hearing me. I'm in a low spot, but sitting at a light here.
Clear as a bell.
I guess now is as good a time as any to talk to the farmer that I don't get along with because he pulled his corn off and his fields are loaded with geese.
Sounds like an easy hunt day.
Yeah, I just got to get him to agree to let me hunt it, which is the tricky part. and Santa from the highway.
I can see your antenna from the highway. Is that what you just said?
Yeah, I'm like 900 yards off of M53, and I can see my antenna from here.
What do you got, 150 footer now?
I wish. I'm, tip of my antenna is 42 feet.
Is that it cranked up?
No, it's a push-up bracketed to the side of my house.
You know, I'm going to climb up 42 feet to, or 40 feet or whatever it is to put it on the top there.
The problem is it's bracketed at, like, 24 feet, so I still have to get up 24 feet to unbracket it to lower it down. So it's not as easy to work on as I was hoping it was going to be.
Yeah, that's still too high for me.
Yeah, I did not enjoy getting it up there, that's for damn sure. Got a little bit of a lean to it I got to fix because the bottom bracket is sucked in further than the top bracket because the mast diameter, but it's an easy fix. I only have to go up about 12 feet. But on that note, I'm pulling in here, so I'm going to clear out, and I'm sure I'll talk to you tomorrow. Clear for yours, NADDF.
Good luck with the neighbor and the goose population. Maybe it'll be nice if you get lucky. 73.
Side 8, jump to Charlie Romeo. KF8, CSK. KF8, DRC, this is KF8, CSK. KF8, CSK, clear.
You lost?
No, I got another DMR and I was programming it through OpenGD77 and went from Mount Clemens to make sure I can connect to it and then went over to Warren.
What are you on now, your node, or are you on just a radio antenna?
I'm on my node.
Okay, same here. I'm at the office still.
You're working late.
Didn't do much all day, so I got a bunch of stuff I had to finish up. Get ready for tomorrow.
Why, are you going out of town tomorrow then again, or you got something else planned?
I don't move until Friday. I mean, unless something happens, but I really don't do any movement until Friday.
Oh, I didn't know what you mean, that she has something going on tomorrow on Tuesday. That's all.
No, not really. WBD. Your note sounds really good.
That's because I had one of the goats help me out with it.
Figured it all out, so that was good.
Yeah, I got that, what is that, the 1701 from Baofeng. Got it at a real good price through Amazon Black Friday, so. Had updated to open GD77, and John 88OD helped me out with that. And once I got that figured out, then it was just a matter of putting in my cool plug.
Oh, very good. Which one is that? That isn't the P25 lookalike, is it?
No, it's like an updated version, I guess, of the Retevis 3. I didn't find any P25 ball things. But John had this one in a meeting on Thursday.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't pay attention to it. I was sitting next to Brian. I was paying attention to all his toys.
Yeah, that'd be nice if All-Star, the node did P25. That'd be pretty cool.
MDVM does it. The Pi-Star does it. Does it pretty easy. But the problem is that nothing here around here is on P25 internet. So, which is fine. I understand. My vote's to keep it that way as well.
Oh yeah, it's an exclusive network.
Yeah, and I guess it's a little bit more involved to get it to work. So, and the network that they were using kind of fell apart, so the story goes, and nobody's ever pursued it since then, and, which is good. I don't care. I mean, I'm happy that it is that way. It makes it nice.
Yeah, it's nice. Like I said, it's a closed network, so it's pretty cool. DMR is, you know, wide open there. Yeah, so this one is that, I'll take a picture of it, I'll send it to you.
Yeah, that'd be cool. All right, dude, I just heard you in there. Just figured I'd say hi. Tell you how good you sounded. I'm glad you did it, so it sounds good. If you want to test it, can you hit 5-1 from there? If you want to test it, I can hit 5-1 from here.
I have to go through my open spot.
Okay, no problems. All right, dude, you have fun. We'll chat a little bit later. I should be, I don't know. It depends what tomorrow's phone brings. We shall chat again. Talk to you later. W8BD.
Okay, have a good one. 73KCKTO.
What's happening, Jack?
Nothing much except listening to Saginaw repeater. Roger.
Yeah, roger that. Yeah, we were just out running around getting all kinds of odds and ends, at least I was today while Jen was working for Thanksgiving, so about it on this end.
Yeah, I had to do a run around, same thing you did. Go to the grocery shopping, go here and go over my daughter's house for a little bit. See how's everybody there, and then stand back and sit here and watch TV for a little bit and listen to Saginaw repeater.
Okay, yep, roger that. Yeah, I got, I think, all the fall clean up and all that stuff. I'm ready for winter now. I guess bring the snow on. The blower's ready, the side-by-sides got the plow ready, and I guess if it's going to be winter, we'll be ready for it.
Roger, yeah, I heard it's going to be a tough winter. The snow will go day after day. That's what I heard. I didn't use.
So, you decided not to bid on that tuner?
Yeah. I thought that one, you know, look, you know, this guy, he wants to get rid of it fast. Because the price wasn't not that bad, $150. So he's trying to get rid of it fast. So he must have had it a long time ago. And it probably was on all day, all night. But that's why.
Yeah, I think you're better off just either buying from somebody you know or buying brand new. Then you at least get the warranty. But, yeah, it's a good brand. But you never know. You know, that's the problem.
Yeah, Roger, yeah, there is another different brand, but the price is not bad at all from a different brand, but they're all brand new. So I don't know how they're going to work, but I trust you because you got one, and you said that it's locally fixed and all that. KFA, DIC.
Yeah, the guy that owns LDG, I've got his contact information. He's actually the support guy, super good guy. So that's, you know, that stands behind the name there with the owner calling you back and supporting the product.
Roger, yeah. Yeah, that's what I figured. And I figured when I put that vertical on, and now I'm on a 10 meter, I'm getting good signal, almost up to 7. What I did is, you know where that says IPO? I switched that to IM2. IMPO2, I think, yeah. And that brought the signal up and the voice up. And I didn't know that till I found that out, which is now is good. That vertical is working very good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's your amplifier. Your, it's, I think it's just IPO and then amplifier 1, amp 2, at least it is on my 991A. But, yeah, you're right. It intensifies or, you know, boosts the signal up quite a bit. And then, yeah, there's another, I can't remember the button there, it's for cutting out the noise. I can't remember it right now, but there's another button there that'll knock a lot of the noise out, too.
Oh, yeah, there's another button, but I have not got to that. It might take a little bit long time, but I might get to it. Anyhow, how am I sounding? Because I'm on PYT 88, with a short antenna, not even a Nagoya on it.
Sounds good. Sounds really good for handheld, for sure. Full quieting, no problem.
Greg, if you know that, that was my first radio, the TYT-88. I used to get everywhere I wanted. One day I was sitting outside and talking to Midland.
Yeah, it's the same one you can do the POTA on, right?
No, this one is really not the same one. The POTA one is a 390. A CYT-390, that's the one that gives you anything you want with that one. You know, talk to ISS with it. And I use it here for the, what they call it? I forgot the name of it. I still have it here. I get on the computer, talk on the computer. I just forgot the name of it just now. But this one here, really, it does a good job out there, the TYT-88.
Okay, I have a TYT-88. All right, yeah, that's a good sounding radio for sure. What is that, 10 watts or 20 watts?
That is only 5 watts. You know what? I got the mic for it, too. I was talking on the mic with it. And it really sounds, everybody I talk to says, I don't know how you're sounding good, but you're sounding excellent.
Yep, that's for sure. Only 5 watts. Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah, definitely. You're full quieting. No problem at all.
Hi, Greg. We should hear you maybe tomorrow on the GM in the morning. Today it was a mess out there, but anyhow, they heard me. First time they didn't hear me, the second time they heard me from somewhere else. I don't know where he was, the other gentleman out there. So we'll see tomorrow anyhow.
Yep. Yeah, I've been getting up and listening. Maybe I'll chime in tomorrow. Okay, Jack, we'll chat with you later there. KF8DRC, this is WD8KLO.
Hi, Greg, good to hear you out there. Good talking to you. We'll talk again. I go back listen to Saginaw and see what they got to say and everything else. After that, I'll watch TV. Take care. Have a good evening. KF8DRC.
KF8DRC, NHW-30, copying me, Jack.
Oh, my God, here's the guy we're looking for. Well, how are you, Dane?
Yeah, NHW-30. Yeah, good deal there, Jack. I'm glad I got a hold of you there. Yeah, I caught you on the, on the 18 there on General S, but missed you there. But anyway, sounded good here. Sounds real good. Go ahead.
Yeah, you're sounding good here. I just was on the TYT-88 with a short antenna. And it's only 5-watt radio, but it does a hell of a job. So how you doing, Dane? I haven't heard you out there at all. Anyhow, those repeaters, they're not linked no more.
Yeah, that's what I thought so, but anyway, I keep listening. The conditions haven't been the greatest, but we got a little connection tonight, so you'll probably get knocked down tomorrow with the weather moving in, but it's good to get a hold of you there, so I hope you're doing well, and if I don't get a hold of you back before Thanksgiving and the holidays, you have a great holiday season, all right?
Roger that, Dan. Yeah, you do the same. You have a good Thanksgiving, and don't eat too much turkey. You take care of you. Have a good evening. And we'll talk again. I'll be here listening all the time. So anything you need, no problem at all. Take care and have a good evening. KFADRC.
Hey, okay, Jack, no problem. Yeah, I'll keep listening here. Only about an S3 or so down this way, but we'll always be listening. Give you a shout sometime when it opens up. So you have a great week coming up. We'll talk again soon. KF8DRC, NAWJ, Cleveland. I'll be clear.